And now Psalm 126 was such a beautiful psalm of joy. And then we come to the second scripture reading, John 12:1-8. And it's about this time when Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross. And so he was preparing his heart and mind and soul for it. Listen now for the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Holy wisdom, holy word. A Jewish man asks his rabbi for counseling. "My son has become a Christian. What should I do, Rabbi?" The rabbi responds, "I don't know. My son also became a Christian." "Really, Rabbi? Your son became a Christian?" "Yes," the rabbi replies with resignation. "Well, what did you do?" "I prayed to God." "And did God answer?" "Yes, God answered." "Well, what did God say?" "God said he didn't know what to do either. The same thing happened with his son." The famous preacher, teacher, and social reformer, Henry Ward Beecher, said, "Mirth is God's medicine. Everyone should bathe in it daily." And Mark Twain, who I dearly love to read about, also had a lot to say about the science and theology of laughter and humor. He said, "The human race has only one really effective weapon, and that is laughter." And in his autobiography, Twain commented on God's creation. He was a very faithful man, and he was pondering animals like hippos and aardvarks and platypuses and ostriches. So he said, "Humor must be one of the chief attributes of God. Animals that are distinctly humorous in form are God's jokes." Now, this reminds me, too, of Ogden Nash's poem. I don't know if you read Ogden Nash, but he's really fun to read. And it's called "The Fly." "God, in his wisdom, made the fly and then forgot to tell us why." That's it. That's his poem. So Mr. Twain also saw the healing power in humor, and he said, "What is it that sparks humor from a man? It is the effort to throw off, to fight back the burden of grief that is laid on each one of us. In youth, we don't feel it so much, but as we grow into manhood, we find the burden on our shoulders. Humor, it's nature's effort to harmonize conditions. The further the pendulum swings out over woe, the further it is bound to swing back over mirth. Now, Twain believed laughter was contagious, too. And he said, "Laughter, which cannot be suppressed, is catching. Sooner or later, it washes away all of our defenses." And I think that's so very true, isn't it? So this is the theme for one of my favorite songs in Mary Poppins. Do you remember the song, "I Love to Laugh," in that movie? Yes. Well, the words explain why laughter is healthy. So let's watch it for a minute.
"Keep a straight face. Last time it took us 3 days to get him down."
"I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee."
"You're no help at all."
"The more I'm a merrier me." "It's embarrassing." "The more I'm a merrier me."
"Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this."
"Dreadful.
Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Others they twitter like birds."
"You know, you're as bad as he is."
"Then there's a kind what can't make up their mind." "When things strike me as funny, I can't hide it inside and squeak." "As the squeakilers do." "I got to let go with a ho." "And I..."
"How nice! I was hoping you, Dana. They all would have such a jolly time."
"We love to laugh loud and long and clear. We love to laugh so everybody can hear. The more you laugh..."
"Whoops, don't you two start. Come back down here."
"The more the glee, the more we're a merry..."
Literally, it lifts their spirits, doesn't it? Well, it's a good song to memorize. I have most of it memorized, actually. Humor and the things that make us laugh are age-related and culturally influenced, too. The ability to belly laugh begins around 4 months of age. And by the age of 4, a child laughs an average of 300 times a day. They counted it somehow. However, by the time you are 40 years old, we laugh only 10 times a day or less. And now that is a problem in our society. You have heard that he who laughs last laughs longest. Or sometimes they say he who laughs last laughs best. But science shows that he who laughs the most lasts the longest. Bob Hope and George Burns are good examples. They both lived to 100 years old. And for men, that's amazing. Groucho Marx once said, "I intend to live forever or die trying." and he died trying at age 87. But he still beat the average age of death for men, which is 78. Now, the newspaper, USA Today, published an article titled, "A Laugh a Day Keeps Death Further Away." And they quoted a medical researcher from Norway who said, "Humor works like a shock absorber in a car. And when you go over bumps like cancer on your road of life, you appreciate having a good shock absorber." Studies in Japan found your immune system is boosted to a point where you may live another 7 years longer with a good dose of laughter each day, like a vitamin. And humor, though, as we know, isn't the same for every person. You kind of have to find your own style or your own preference. Some people really like humor through telling puns, like somebody that isn't here today. Yeah, Don Marshall is the king of pun telling, so if you ever want to hear a pun, ask Don. Yeah, so we can make fun of him. Others prefer slapstick physical comedy, like on America's Funniest Home Videos. That's what's fun about YouTube now. You can just click on any of the America's Funniest Home Videos clip and watch it anytime. And maybe it's due to my Scottish DNA, but I really enjoy British comedy, such as the Monty Python troupe. Yes. They just crack me up, even though they can be really disgusting sometimes too. And then Rowan Atkinson, who plays the hilarious Mr. Bean. I don't know if you all know Mr. Bean. But he's so popular over in the UK that they have done studies that have looked at Mr. Bean comedy and the brain. And in one study, researchers examined the way the brain was processing humor as the research subjects watched Mr. Bean sketches. And they tracked how the brain lights up during laughing. There's a region in the brain called the anterior cingulate where we deal with conflict. And those areas light up when you laugh, too. Laughter research found that dealing with conflict and laughter uses the same part of the brain, which I thought was very interesting. And looking at this research also helped neuroscience find the pleasure centers in the brain. So my favorite Mr. Bean sketch is a religious one, of course. And it takes place in a big store in London at Christmas time. Nothing is sacred to Mr. Bean, it seems. So let's watch and see.
Beep, beep, beep.
Like the body, mind, and spirit science that we talked about last week that inspired hospitals to develop programs, there are now humor programs in hospitals due to the clear benefits for improving health caused by laughter. These programs were inspired initially by the best-selling book by Norman Cousins called Anatomy of an Illness. Have any of you read this, Anatomy of an Illness? Yeah, if you haven't read it, it's really worthwhile. It describes his use of laughter instead of medicine to relieve his pain suffering from a degenerative disease of his spine. And he credits hours of daily laughter for curing him. Now, Cousins was the editor of the Saturday Review when he became ill. And after studying and writing about his experience, he became known as the father of laughter therapy. Now, Cousins believed that we can all take some responsibility for our own recovery from illness and combat disease through adding a large dose of humor to our lives. And cognitive neuroscientist Scott Weems agrees with him in his book titled, Ha, The Science of When We Laugh and Why. Weems discovered that the same chemicals that give us pleasure during laughter are the same ones that are activated by drugs and chocolate. And he also found that laughter is actually a relief response from conflicted or confused feelings sometimes. Laughter improves your coping response to trauma and enhances cardiovascular health, because laughing is a form of internal jogging. It improves immune system response, and it can even make you smarter. Studies have shown that simply by watching Robin Williams' stand-up comedy videos, your brain function starts to improve. Laughing enhances your ability to do problem-solving tasks, because humor is a mind exercise. And another scientific study searched for the funniest joke in the world based on how many of their study subjects laughed when they heard it. So here it is. Two hunters are out in the woods when one of them suddenly collapses. He's not breathing and his eyes are glazed. So his friend calls 911 and says, "My friend is dead. What should I do?" The operator replies, "Calm down, sir. I can help. First, make sure he's dead." There's a silence, and then a loud blast. Back on the phone, the guy says, "Okay, now what?" I don't know if that really qualifies, but they thought so. But laughter is a social bonder, and it's more contagious, actually, than a yawn, which is very contagious. Like, even when I say the word yawn, I want to yawn. But if someone close by you laughs, we're far more likely to laugh, too, which is why they put laugh track sounds, you know, on TV comedies. Just hearing the laughter causes us to laugh, even subliminally, when we don't realize that's why. And one of the more unique studies I found was on laughter and rats. Researcher Jeffrey Bergdorf actually tickles rats for a living. He gets paid, seriously, he gets paid for tickling rats. But it's very important research because if you can understand what makes a rat laugh and what gives joy to a rat, it helps scientists understand the same processes in humans. I guess deep down inside, we are all just rats. But other laughter studies show that women laugh with each other far more often than men. Females enjoy humor 25% more than men. So being a giggly girl is actually a healthy way to be. You know, people make fun of giggly girls. But there are just so many benefits to seeking out humor and sharing it with others. Humor definitely makes our lives healthier. And Dr. Paul McGee said, "Your sense of humor is one of the most powerful tools that you have to make certain that your daily mood and emotional state support good health." Do you believe it? Laughter is a powerful antidote to stress, pain, and conflict. It's impossible to stay angry when you're laughing authentically at the same time. Nothing works faster or more dependably to bring your mind and body back into a healthy balance than a good laugh. Humor lightens your burdens, inspires hope, connects you to others, and keeps you grounded and alert. Laughter makes you feel good, and the good feeling that you get when you laugh remains with you even long after the laughter subsides. Humor helps you keep a positive, optimistic outlook through difficult situations, disappointments, and actually even during loss. A humorous perspective creates psychological distance, which can help you avoid feeling overwhelmed. Charlie Chaplin knew this when he said, "Life is a tragedy when seen in close up, but a comedy in long shot." And then he added, "To truly laugh, you must be able to take your pain and play with it." Now, even if you did not grow up in a household where laughter was a common sound, you can learn at any stage in life. Begin, they recommend, by setting aside special times in your day to seek out humor and laughter. Here are some ways to start. First, just smile. Smiling is the beginning of laughter. They say you can just practice smiling in the mirror and that will help you laugh. But I also recommend watching the movie Elf. If you haven't seen Elf, Buddy the Elf will show you how to bring laughter into everything. And one of my favorite lines in it is he just says, "Smiling is my favorite." Count your blessings. Literally make a list. Negative thoughts create a barrier to laughter. Spend time with fun, playful people like children. And try to bring humor into conversations. Ask people, "What's the funniest thing that happened to you today?" And share your embarrassing moments. Work at developing your sense of humor and take yourself less seriously. But some events are clearly sad and not occasions for laughter. But most heavy burdens can be lightened through humor. Surround yourself with reminders to lighten up. Keep a toy or something fun on your desk or in your car. You can choose a computer screensaver that makes you laugh. Or you can get things like these glasses. They've invented glasses that help you see the world with a fun perspective. Wear these for a while and people are bound to laugh. Use humor to overcome challenges and enhance your life. And they also say getting a pet can enhance laughter. When I went out even to the Humane Society, one day I was feeling sad about my divorce, and so after church I went out to the Humane Society and sat in the kitty room. They'll let anyone come and sit in the kitty room and just hold their kitties. And this kitty came up on my lap and purred for 45 minutes. So I ended up taking the kitty home. And that kitty has brought more laughter to our house than you can imagine. Our two dogs now just love it. At first I thought it was going to get eaten alive, but now it dominates the dogs and they have a lot of fun together. But laughter is a gift from God. And there are many places in the Bible that laughing is mentioned, or at least implied, in the story. Yesterday in Melissa Jones' memorial service, I quoted actually one of the laughter references in the Bible because it's one of the more famous ones in Ecclesiastes 4. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And my favorite story of biblical laughter, though, is in Genesis 21, 5 to 7, where Sarah, at the age of 89, finds herself pregnant with Abraham's son. Now, Sarah explains in the Bible when she initially laughed when Abraham told her of God's promise to have a child. She thought it was a big joke. And she said, "God has given me cause to laugh, and all who hear of it will laugh with me." Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. She appreciated so much that the joke was on her. And this is one of the few instances in the Bible where the woman gets to choose the name of the child. And Sarah named the baby Isaac, which means laughter. So the simple truth is, as the book of Proverbs reminds us, a joyful heart is good medicine. And Proverbs 15 says, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. And Psalm 2:4 says, he who sits in heaven laughs. And then as we heard in Psalm 126 today, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And even in the book of Job, it reads in Job 8, he will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. Now, Jesus was peaceful and happy most of his days on earth, and I believe he probably laughed often. There are many moments in the New Testament where we can imagine Jesus laughing, like when he said, "Let the little children come to me." You know that he must have laughed when they all jumped up and tried to scramble up on his lap then. Or when Peter tried to walk on water to Jesus and he fell in. Or when the boy offered a tiny piece of fish and a little bread to Jesus to help him feed the 5,000. And don't you think Jesus probably laughed when his mother asked him to turn water into wine? And how about the passage for today? When Mary poured the precious oil on his head and feet and washed them with her hair, there is such a thing as nervous laughter. And I bet there was some nervous laughter in the room coming from the other disciples when Judas Iscariot complained to Jesus at that moment. It must have been very intense and confusing to them. And I laugh at times like that, even though it is a nervous laugh. It still helps to cut the tension in the room. So I imagine there was some of that going on in this passage. Father James Martin is a Jesuit priest and a theologian, and he's known as the chaplain for the Stephen Colbert Report. I don't know if you watched that show, but he's really close friends with Stephen Colbert. And he wrote a book called Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life. Father Martin explains how humor is an essential part of faith, and he too believes that Jesus laughed and made jokes during his life on earth. He says humor helps people remember their humility and their humanity. And Martin encourages people to laugh even in prayer and share their joy with God the way they would with a friend or any other important relationships in their lives. Here is Father Martin's favorite joke. A man buys a car, and he calls a priest, a minister, and a rabbi to bless it. The priest sprinkles holy water. The minister had everyone hold hands around it and sing. But the rabbi, he cut a half inch off the tailpipe. Oh. I'm not going to explain it. Jesus showed us how to appreciate someone like Mary, who lavishes him with special attention. God is waiting to lavish you with love every day. Pray, connect yourself with God's love, laugh, and count your blessings. You never know when you might get hit by a bus. Oh. Amen.